Our New Testament reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 5 and 6. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed into a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. And in this matter I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Now, I told Johnny that for a sermon about generosity, he wasn't being very generous in the time I have to preach. This is a big subject, and I could go on for quite a while, but I'll try to keep it short. How many parents do we have here this morning? Yeah. Okay. I'm nearly sure that you'll be in agreement with me for what I'm going to invite you to read together. This is the different version of the Ten Commandments that you know. I hope they're there. They're the Ten Commandments about property, according to, I would say, toddlers more than just kids. So I want to invite you that we can read them together. Those over there can see, or I'm in the way. Yeah? 1-3. If I want it, it's mine. So I give it to you, and I change my mind, it's mine. If I can't take it away from you, it's mine. If I had it a little time ago, it's mine. If it's mine, I must never appear to yours in any way. If we are building something together, all the pieces are mine. If it looks like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If it's broken, it's yours. I'm sure we all experience that situation with kids. And if you're going to have kids, that's what's coming towards you. Just be prepared. Sadly enough, some adults, I think, get stuck in that set of mind. And it tends to be difficult to get rid of stuff or money or sharing because we want to control things in life. We want to have this appearance of I'm in control. And when we talk about generosity in the church, sadly enough, many times our motivation is legalism. This is what you have to do. Or an idea of a transaction. I can give to God or give to others because at the end of the day, God is giving me with interest back. It's like an investment. But what Paul is saying here is different. And he's talking in the context of this offering that was being raised for the churches in Jerusalem to help the brothers and sisters of the church in Jerusalem. And Paul wants to motivate the Corinthians to be prepared for when Titus passes around their side of the world, they can give generously. And I want us to think about two questions as we look at this passage. First question, what should be in the heart of our generosity? What should be in the heart of our generosity? And second question, how can we become more generous people? But before we go into that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word today, help us to be humble, that our hearts and our minds may be open to listen to your word, that your Holy Spirit may work in our hearts and our minds, and help us to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul starts by giving an example to the Corinthians in what God has done in these churches in Macedonia. And what does Paul say that says that happened with these people in Macedonia? He says first that they have received a grace, the grace from God. Second, they were suffering severe afflictions. They weren't having a good time, relaxed on vacation, in a cruise. They were suffering afflictions. They were extremely poor. But, surprise, they have abundance of joy. That sort of doesn't fit our mold, does it? Affliction, poverty, but they're joyful. And not just that, that joy has overflowed in a wealth of generosity. It's interesting that he used this contrast, and they're poor, but they're wealthy. They're wealthy in their generosity. And this goes against what we normally think, because he's using poor people as an example of generosity and not rich people as an example of being generous. Many times maybe we think, well, when things are better, when I manage to pay this debt and that debt, I'll be able to give more. Or when I have more time, I'll be able to spend more time with my kids or with the people in the church. But this is not the reality that Paul is talking about here with the people in Macedonia. He says that they are joyful in their poverty and in their suffering, and that they're generous. A commentator says like this when he talks about Paul and the term joy. For Paul, joy is not just a happy mood. It is a saving gift from God, part of the new creation, and brought on through the Holy Spirit. So, this joy is from God. It is His working through His Holy Spirit in the life of these people. Through grace, they have received this joy. This is a gift from God. That's what grace means. and that has overflowed in this wealth of generosity. But in verse 5, Paul concludes that the Macedonians gave themselves to the Lord, and in consequence, they were able to give themselves to others. So it's interesting that Paul says what happens, looking at it from God's side, is that they receive God, the grace, this joy, but from the Macedonian side, it's they gave themselves to God, and that moved them to give themselves to others. I don't know if you realize, but for me it's struck interesting that Paul talks about giving themselves to others and not just giving to others. And I think that is something that we have to take home today, because sometimes it's easier for us to put my hand in my pocket and give money than give my time or my conversation, my ear, to stay, to be present with others. Let me tell you a story that may help us to understand how could this people in Macedonia, in their circumstances, express love in such a way. This is a story I heard from a preacher a couple of days ago, and he said this. A man was going to receive an inheritance of millions and millions of dollars. But to receive this inheritance, he had to travel to New York to an office of a lawyer, and he had to sign a paper, and he was going to be this millionaire. So he took his car, and he drove to New York. When he was 1 mile from the office where he was going, his car broke down. So he had to get out of the car and walk the rest of the mile. What would you think if this man got out of the car and started walking? Oh, my life is horrible. I have to walk to the office. Oh, 1 mile and it's sod. Probably you and I would say, hey, stop complaining. It's just a mile and you're going to be a millionaire. You could buy a car and a chauffeur and a jet and whatever after that. But that's our reality. And that's what these Macedonians had understood. They had experienced this inheritance from God in Jesus Christ. They could be poor, they could be suffering, but they had the biggest treasure in Christ. They were millionaires. Maybe for a while they were suffering, but they were owners of the biggest riches. They were the richest people on earth. And that couldn't take their joy. Nothing could take their joy from them. Another point of application that we can see here for our lives is that Paul says that they gave freely. And not just freely, they begged them to be able to give more. I can imagine Paul thinking, hey, these guys are poor, I won't be asking more of them. But they're saying, hey, we want to be part of this. Let us give more. In chapter 9, verse 7, there's this first famous verse that says, each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. There's a story, an example I like to use that I heard many years ago to explain this. Imagine it was Julie's birthday last week, my wife. Imagine for her birthday, I buy a bouquet of red roses. And I come home, knock on the door, well, open the door, it's my home. And I see my wife, and I put the flowers there, and I say, it's my duty. I'm sure Julie wouldn't be very flattered about that. But it's true. The Bible says I have to love my wife. It's my duty. I'm being biblical. I could say even it's good for me. If I give stuff to my wife, then she'll be more happy to be nice to me. That's true too. But it's not the point. We want to do it because we want to do it and we love to do it because we love our wife. And the same applies here. When we give to God and we give to others, yes, it is our duty. Sometimes God even may bless us and prosper us. We have many times we've seen God's hands provide for our needs. But the point here is that I give freely because I love God and I have given myself to God. And in response to that, I want to give to others. Paul then moves from the example of the Macedonians to the Corinthians situation. And then he explains that they have received the same grace from God. But there's a bigger example than the Macedonians. And that example is Christ himself. In verse 8 and 9, we read, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you may become rich. Johnny read last week from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and I want to remind you of that verse, because this is like part B, or the application of that, of Johnny's sermon, basically. For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might not longer live for themselves, but for him for whom their sake died, and he was raised. So, let's go back to my two questions. What should be in the heart of our generosity? And how can we become more generous? In the heart of the Christian generosity is the person of Christ. He gave himself so we could experience grace and joy. Even in hardship, even in poverty, we can overflow in love towards others, independent of our circumstances. I don't know the circumstances you are living, but Paul is saying and reminding us that we have already in Christ received this treasure for eternity that frees us to be generous with what we have. We don't have anything to lose. I want to make an invitation to you today, that when we finish this service, after we take communion, we go out to a picnic, hopefully everybody here, we may be generous. Generous with our time, with our words, with our listening. We may be generous connecting with other people. Maybe people we don't know, maybe visitors that came today. Let's be generous with our smiles. Let's practice. Yeah? Yeah, start getting generous with your smile. And not just this picnic, but every Sunday. Let's be generous in the coffee time. Let's be generous with what God has given to us. Let it be money, time, our gifts. Because we have the biggest treasure in the world. We are rich. Very rich. Because Christ, being rich, decided to be poor for our sake. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your grace and your joy that we can experience through your Holy Spirit. Help us to learn from the Macedonians, the Corinthians, and from you, Lord. Lord, we are sorry that so many times we hold on to things thinking that we are owners of them and that we depend, our life depends on that. But thank you, Lord, that our life depends on you. Give us generous hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.